On the phone lines now, joined by 16th District Congressman Don Manzullo here on Straight Talk. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you today?
Just fine. How are you?
Doing fine.
Outstanding. Good news last week for people around the state line, around Illinois, around the country. Tax rates locked in for the next 2 years. Compromise deal reached with the president. Then a hard fight with his own party to get it through. But it's signed, sealed, delivered now, right?
That's correct. The these tax cuts were passed in 91 and 93, and because of opposition in the Senate, they could only last for 10 years. It's pretty complicated. It's called the Byrd Rule. Everything is named after Senator Byrd. But it says if you have a tax cut and you do it pursuant to something called reconciliation, it only lasts for 10 years, but tax increases last forever. So anyway, it was very interesting, and at least for the next 2 years, people will know what their tax rates will be. And it was very significant, Scott. You take a family of, you know, three kids under 17, taxes would have gone up by $1,500 at the minimum. So,
I thought it was interesting in the debate as the president was pushing Democrats to pass this bill, kept talking about how the potential tax hike, if this bill wasn't passed, would be harmful to the economy, which, you know, really seems to go against a lot of what he's talked about in the past. You know, getting the president to admit tax hikes would harm the economy seemed to be a large step.
Yeah, I find it kind of unique for people to say, because somebody else has more money than you do, that adds to the deficit. It's the spending that causes the deficit. But in any case, it was very interesting to see how that happened. In the end, it passed the House overwhelmingly, and the Senate also. Senate passed by, I think it was 81-19 in the House. It occurred by 50 or 60 votes.
So tax policies are going to be locked in place for the next 2 years. I'm sure we'll have this fight again at that point with the backdrop of a presidential election as well. Do you think the economy will be strong enough at that point to even really have this debate? I mean, if the economy is around the same place it is right now, first of all, it's bad for the country. But second of all, you're running through the same arguments, which is how can you hike taxes in the middle of an economic, hopefully by that point, recovery?
Well, Scott, regardless, I think what American people want is consistency. They want the ability to know what their taxes will be. It's extraordinarily important for business people to be able to sit down and come up with, a 3 or 5 year plan to know what their taxes will be. And any time you have to have a new tax debate every 2 years, that certainly does not do away with certainty, and it's the lack of certainty that's causing this recession to continue. We've got a lot of work to do, but it's not just the amount of income coming in. There are 10,000 federal programs that have to be looked at, have to be cut. There's simply no money. And state and local governments are looking to Washington. Washington's broken, and we're sitting here with about a $13 trillion debt that's going to impact dramatically. Kids 3 and 4 years old today, unless something is done, their taxes are going to be doubled just to pay the interest on the national debt. So the spending has got to be reined in.
Republicans will have control of the House coming up next year once new members are put in place. How do you go about getting this done? How do you go about these spending cuts and trying to control spending in Washington?
Well, first of all, we have the American people realizing the fact that Washington is not the answer to everything, and that you simply cannot run the federal government or the state and local governments based on going into the back room, getting out a mimeograph machine and printing money. Those days of looking at that, finally people realized that this has caught up with us. And I mean, I was voting no before it was popular to vote no. And I'm still ranked as the most fiscally conservative member of all 21 members of Congress from the state of Illinois, because you just can't have all those programs. So what you do is you go back and you freeze in the spending based on 2008 levels, and you continue to exercise fiscal discipline and let the American people know that we all have to live within our means. And it's going to be tough, but that's what happens when a government gets out of control in the first place, and people, Republicans and Democrats, spend too much money. And so now we've got to cut back, and cut back dramatically. Otherwise, Moody's is stating that it may downgrade our bonds, mm-hmm. our bond rating. I mean, that happens on the world market. That's extremely serious in terms of people having faith in our treasuries, and continuing to use the dollar as the medium of exchange around the world. You know, these are very serious things that are looming out there, and we've got to bring it under control.
Congressman Don Manzullo with us on Straight Talk here on WROK. You mentioned, you know, how to move forward. Congressman Paul Ryan from up in Wisconsin nearby, I know he's been down on mm-hmm. your behalf a few times, and he has this pathway, this plan. Have you taken a look at it? Do you endorse most of the ideas there?
Well, I don't know if I've endorsed most of the ideas, but everything that he's brought up there should be discussed on the floor of the House. There's a lot of stuff out there. There are two or three different alternative tax plans. It's taking a look at everything that's out there and saying, what's important for Americans? What do we have to save? What can we do without? Is there a way that we can go about privatizing some things and incentivizing people through the private sector to get things done as opposed to continually going to government all the time? Because regardless of the way you look at it, Scott, with a few exceptions, government is not, you know, it's not the most efficient way to get it done, because so many people are involved, and there are so many layers of bureaucracy that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are something like 47 federal job training programs, and they're all well-intentioned, and they're filled with good people. But I mean, the purpose of job training programs is to retrain people to get jobs, not to have these agencies continue to proliferate and hire more job trainers. I mean, that's just an example of some of the things that have to be done. When I was chairman of the Small Business Committee, I wanted to take a look at how many governmental entities in Washington were involved in core manufacturing research. And I've been working on a chart now. I've got 10 years on it, Scott. Nobody else has a chart as extensive as that, because people simply do not know how big the government is, mm-hmm. and how to get your arms around different things. So we've been working, you know, we're really excited with John Boehner coming in as the new Speaker of the House. I'm going to be surrounded by Republicans before I was surrounded by Democrats. And, I mean, I don't care if they're red or blue, as long as they're committed to cutting the spending. And we're going to have some really painful talks going on in order to bring this spending down.
Congressman Don Manzullo with us here on Straight Talk. As we try to jumpstart the economy, small business is going to play a large role. That's where a lot of the hiring comes from. They do have some certainty now for the next 2 years in their tax rates, but what else can be done when the Republicans take control of the House to help small business and to persuade them to hire new employees?
Well, it's Congress. The best thing that but the only thing Congress can do is create the environment through tax policy to allow businesses to grow on their own. Let me give you an example. This last tax bill, there is a huge provision for all businesses where they can buy a very expensive piece of equipment and depreciate it, Scott, in 1 year. I mean, that's astounding. That means that, you know, I spend most of my time dealing with manufacturing issues, and somebody can buy, you know, a several $100,000 piece of equipment and write it off in 1 year as opposed to several years. And that means that the company buying it has the choice of paying tax that 1 year or buying a piece of equipment. And when they buy the piece of equipment, it's not only the people who make the equipment, but those who install it. And then the equipment makes that manufacturer more competitive. And so he can produce better items at a cheaper price, and it makes him in better shape to do business with overseas competition. So there's some really, really good things. If they just leave the things alone, just the way they are now in this package, tax package that we passed, and make it permanent, then people will be able to predict exactly where they're going to go and how they're going to invest.
What are the chances, do you think, that there might be a permanent extension of these tax rates under a Republican House?
I think it'll be good. It'll be an election year, and President Obama will be up for re-election if he runs. Who knows? We've heard all kinds of talk, but if he runs for re-election, if the economy is bad, the argument is there to keep the same tax rates because you don't want to raise taxes in a recession. If the economy is improved, then why raise taxes that sucks private equity out of the market and puts it into the tax coffers where the money is spent less efficiently? So arguments would be both ways to keep that tax rate exactly where it is. And you know, it's not a bad tax rate. I mean, what people want is predictability. They want certainty, and they want fairness in taxes. And that's exactly where that tax package is.
Congressman Don Mangiello with us here on Straight Talk for a few more minutes. You've been on the leading edge of the fight to prevent Guantanamo Bay detainees from being transferred to the Thompson Prison here in Northwest Illinois. I know on Friday there was an effort, and it was a successful one, to defeat a provision in the Defense Authorization Bill that actually would have given new authority to the president to do just that. But the Illinois delegation and also Mark Kirk in the Senate both worked to take that out, correct?
That's correct. The this was in the Defense Authorization Bill, where the bill had passed the House last July with a provision in it where I think 385 members and maybe 60 on the other side. It passed by about 385 to 30 in order to keep Guantanamo Bay from moving from Cuba to the United States. I mean, that's how strongly Congress feels about it. Well, the Senate was interested, so the House came back with the same bill again without what we call the Guantanamo Bay provisions. And we worked all night, put that amendment back in it again, because the Congress, whether it's Republican or Democrat, simply is not going to allow Thompson to open unless there's some rock-solid guarantees that Guantanamo won't be moved to it.
And you've mentioned a number of times that you would like to see that Thompson Prison used federally, you know,
Absolutely. For
federal inmates. Are we any closer to getting that done? I know the prison itself has been closed for a while now.
We went to the president last January and said, hey, use this thing as a standalone. And because the Hardy Lappin, the Federal Bureau of Prisons director, really needs that space in Thompson because of crowding to the federal system. And the president actually responded about 2 months later where he said, you know, it's not a bad idea. Let's open up that thing with or without the prisoners. But what we don't want is a situation where the opportunity there is to slip these prisoners in into the middle of the night, because then Congress will go berserk and withdraw all the money. So we've got to reach that point where the president has sufficiently backed off moving Guantanamo to the United States before the funds will actually be in there. But Dick Durbin and I worked really, really hard on this. Dick and I were in agreement on 90% of it, where he said, well, you know, I think that moving Guantanamo is coupled with reopening Thompson. And I said, no, Dick, let's strip it, because Congress does not want it. And then Dick agreed, and so he's been working very hard over in the Senate to see if some money can be put into the final budget or the final spending documents in order to get the job done.
Congressman Don Mangiello, before we let you go, I saw a new poll this morning. Rasmussen says for the first time ever, most voters think that repeal of Obamacare, the health care bill, is actually likely. Once Republicans take control, do you think we will see an up or down vote on repeal of the health care law?
Well, there could be. That vote could come up in the House. But it's and it could pass. It would be very difficult to pass in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing here is something very interesting, because a lot of states are bringing lawsuits based on different provisions. For example, the state of Virginia brought a lawsuit saying that that provision dealing with the mandatory purchase of insurance is unconstitutional. State of Florida, joined by 19 or 20 other states, has a lawsuit pending that says the federal government forcing states to pay more in Medicaid is unconstitutional. And there are suits all over the place that are really going after the guts of this bill. And so the thought is, are there some good things in that bill that are worth saving? Absolutely. There's some really, really good things out of that whole bill. And, you know, repeal the things that are not going to work, that are costly, that are mandated. Keep things in there, such as allowing cross-state purchase of insurance,
mm-hmm.
Of allowing kids to stay on their parents' health insurance policies until they reach 26, as opposed to 22. I mean, that age bracket of kids don't use medical services, and it insures them. And you know, it removes more people from the roles of the uninsured. There's things in that bill, but it may be easier just to repeal the whole thing and start all over again.
Go
but
back and pass what you
do that
you like.
And replace it with the good stuff, or just pick and choose and throw out the bad stuff and keep the good things upon which there's almost kind of tired this morning.
Everyone agrees with it.
Yeah, that everybody agrees, unanimity,
yes.
of approval. And you accomplish the same goal.
All right, Congressman Don Manzullo, we appreciate your time as always. We'll talk more after the new year begins.
Sounds good. Have a good Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
8:50 here on News Talk.